you so much. Amen. You have your Bibles today, Colossians, in the New Testament, the book of Colossians. Coming to chapter number 2. Good little lesson in that little video this morning. We need to. I think one of the greatest things you can teach your children is to be thankful. Amen? I mean, think about that. When you teach them about Christ, but part of that is to be thankful. So all of us have a lot to be thankful for today. I know a lot of people today griped about the rain, but I'm thankful for that God gave us rain. Amen? Waters the crops, fills up the lakes and the rivers and the streams. God takes care of us in so many ways. Sometimes we only think about ourselves, and we need to be thankful, thankful people. Colossians chapter 2 is going to be our reading today. We're going to stick mostly with this book. We'll kind of venture around just a little bit. But anyway, this is the Thanksgiving week, and this Thursday. And there's been a few famous quotes from people in years past about Thanksgiving. Johnny Carson said years ago, "Thanksgiving is an emotional time. People travel thousands of miles to be with people they see only once a year, and then discover once a year is way too often." I like what Phyllis Diller said. She said, "It took me 3 weeks to stuff the turkey." He said, "I stuffed it through the beak." And then finally, Irma Bombeck. Some of you know Irma Bombeck, her writings. He says, "I come from a family where gravy is considered a beverage." I think that's the Alonzo family. Anyway, the first American Thanksgiving did not occur in 1621, as some of history teaches us, when a group of pilgrims shared a feast with a group of friendly Indians. The first recorded Thanksgiving took place many years prior to that, 11 years to be quite honest with you. Virginia was the place, and it wasn't a feast. The winter of 1610 at Jamestown had reduced a group of people, 409 settlers, down to 60. These survivors prayed for help, and without knowing it, knowing when or where or how it might come. When it did arrive, however, in the form of a ship filled with food and supplies from England, a prayer meeting of thanksgiving was held to give thanks to God. Now you know the history, Thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6, says this. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Let's pray. Father, we love You, and we thank You for this time together that, Lord, we can reflect back on the past year, and we can reflect back on the goodness of what You've given us. And Father, You have been so good to us. You have blessed us in so many ways. Father, we have food to eat, clothes to wear, cars to drive, homes to live in, and so, so much more that we can't even describe today. We are truly a thankful people. But I think, Father, most of all, we can be thankful for the fact that You sent Your Son to the world to die on the cross, that we might be free from our sins by receiving Him as our Lord and Savior. So, Father, may we walk in Him. May we abound in Him and abound with thanksgiving because of it. And, Father, may the world see the thanksgiving of Your church this holiday weekend. Father, bless it now, Lord, I pray. We give You praise, honor, and glory. For us in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. This is that time of year that people come together to express thanks for the blessings of the past year. And let me just say, folks, Thanksgiving is probably one of my favorite holidays. I will say that. You say, "Pastor, why is that? It's kind of weird." No, not really. I love Christmas. I love the lights and I love the singing and the spirit and all those kind of things. But you got to admit, Christmas is a little bit hectic in today's world, isn't it? I mean, right after Thanksgiving. I mean, we haven't even put the turkey down in 6 o'clock now. It used to be Black Friday. Now it's Black Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And every other day from here on out as they try to grab every dollar they can this Christmas season. So I kind of like a day where we just come together with the family. Amen? We just come together and we eat together and we eat way too much, but it's that one day. And then we start trying to lose weight to get it off the week after. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of a thing. And we just enjoy family. We enjoy friends and we even enjoy football a little bit, don't we? It's just a day that I like out of the year. Very relaxing day. And I look forward to it because I know right after that, Christmas kicks off. And we'll be busy doing things, getting ready for that time of year. Folks, if you're a child of God today, and if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a lot to be thankful for today. We need to always remember that. I like that video we just showed. Because a man saw that no matter whatever his circumstance in life, no matter what it was, he took time to think back and be thankful. Probably something that his parents taught him. Amen? You know, as I said earlier, one of the greatest gifts that you can give to your children and grandchildren is to have a grateful and thankful heart. Of course, we saw it ending where he took his own daughter and put her in that chair and taught her thankfulness. Because I believe thankfulness is something that is taught. Because the natural man, you and I, everyone born in sin, let's face it, we're pretty self-centered people, aren't we? Our whole world normally and for most of us revolves around us. And for us to be thankful literally takes the focus off of us and places it on the object of our thankfulness. And in this passage, it says that that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that all of us go through struggles. We go through trials. We go through all kinds of things in life that drag us down. And Satan will use that to take us away from being thankful. You poor person, look at you. God's so mean to you. He lets you go through this and this happens in your life. And if we just focus on the bad things that happen in life, and believe you me, there's a lot of it out there, is it not? A lot of it out there. Folks, that can destroy our joy, our peace, our thankfulness. We need to be thankful people. We've got so much to be thankful for. First of all, a blessed hope. A blessed hope that the world cannot enjoy. If you're a child of God today, we live in a hopeless world, and the only hope there is the hope of Jesus Christ. The fact that we know that He's coming again and going to save us from this planet, and this planet is not all that there is. Amen? I thank God for that. Because I tell you, every day that I live on this earth and I see what's going on this earth, I kind of enjoy it less and less. And I look more and more every day and being home with Him. But I know that as long as I'm going to stay here, I'm going to be thankful for what I've got because I have a hope. And that hope is that one day I'll be able to see my parents and my grandparents and people that I've buried in this church even very recently once again. So we have a blessed hope. Secondly, a forever church family that's with you through thick and thin. Let me just say this. Many times your own church family is closer to you than your own blood family. Amen? I have people tell me that all the time. I'm thankful for my church family. I know that I can come to church Sunday and Wednesday and throughout the week, and I can be lifted up by you, and hopefully I can lift you up. Amen? That's why God's Word says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. In other words, Jesus Christ says, go to church. Why is that? Because we need each other. Especially in these last days. We've got a family here at First Baptist Church, a forever family that's going to be with us through thick and thin. We can also be thankful for the privilege to pray to the Creator and God of the universe. Do you know what a privilege that is? To be able to speak to God? Folks, if you're of the Islamic faith, you can't speak to Allah. You can praise Him, but you cannot have a personal relationship with Him. Christianity is the only faith that you can have a personal relationship with your God and with our God. God has related to us through His Son, Christ Jesus. That's why He sent Him to this earth, to go through the human experience for you and I, that we can have a relationship with the God of the universe. And one of the privileges is to be able to talk with God. and we call that prayer. Some people try to make prayer this big formal language and this big formal thing that, you know, you got to pray this way and you got to pray in a certain way and you got to be dressed a certain way to pray and you got to read from a certain book to pray. And folks, let me just tell you this. Don't let them confuse you. Prayer is nothing but talking to God. Talking to your Father, your Heavenly Father. Just like you would talk to your own father, your own wife, your own best friend. Folks, that's how you talk to God. We pray, and there's a privilege in that. That I know that I can pray, and the God of heaven hears my prayer. The one who formed everything, controls everything, holds everything together as one. I can pray to Him and talk with Him. And let me just tell you this. Those prayers change things, do they not? Some of you have witnessed the power of prayer in your own life. And thank God, the privilege to pray. But there's one other thing we can be thankful for. We can be thankful for many things. But let me just mention this. The Holy Spirit of God that is always with you throughout your life. The Comforter. We've been talking about that in John. The Comforter. Folks, we have the actual Holy Spirit of God living within us. Jesus Christ went back to heaven some 2,000 years ago. But when He left, He did not leave us comfortless. He sent us a Comforter that would come into our lives, empower us, instill us, that whenever we read God's Word, He enlightens our mind and helps us to grasp what we read. That's why I tell folks all the time, don't ever start your Bible study and meditation without first going to the Holy Spirit of God and praying that God will enlighten your mind to the truth of the Word of God. It's amazing the doors that He will open. And by the way, people like to talk about the gifts, plural, of the Holy Spirit. Or they talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you this, folks. The Holy Spirit is the gift. Amen? What a gift that is. To know that I've got God living with me in my very presence, just like the disciples had Jesus Christ in their presence. And matter of fact, Jesus Christ said after He left, greater things would they do because of the Holy Spirit that He would send. The Holy Spirit of God is a gift to us. So this passage that we just read, Colossians, written by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, encourages every child of God to walk in Christ Jesus. Walk in the Christ you have received as Lord and Savior. This passage says several things. It says, so walk ye in Him, or as John says it, Christ says it, abide in me. If we walk in Him, abide in Him, there are several things that this passage says will happen in verse 7. First of all, it says, you will be rooted and built up in Him. He is our foundation, and we are built upon His teachings and His precepts. As a tree draws water from a river or from the underground, we need to draw nourishment from God. Amen? So that we can be rooted and built up in Him. Folks, if there's one thing that we need is established Christians and rooted Christians in the world today. Because the world is not seeing that. They're seeing God's people today being tossed to and fro, vacillating on issues that we have no business vacillating on. Folks, there's some things that we need to be grounded in and rooted in, like a tree is, like a huge oak tree out there, strong. It can take a lot of pounding from the wind, when the wind's blowing, from the storms. God wants us as His children to be like that. We draw from Him. We're rooted in Him. We're built up in Him. Secondly, it says in that verse 7, established in the faith. Established in the faith. As time goes on, we need to grow in Christ through meditation of His Word in our prayer life. Because folks, let me just tell you, there's a lot of ignorance in the world today, is there not? Among people who call themselves the children of God. We need to be established in the faith. Rooted in the faith. So that when the hard times come, we can still be thankful. And then it ends with this, abounding with thanksgiving. Folks, this world needs to see thanksgiving in God's people, in God's children. If there's ever a group of people that need to be thankful, it's God's people. There's so much to be thankful if we would just think about it. And we want to focus on that today. We want to focus on several things that we can be thankful for. And let me tell you what, if you look at the world out there today, they're always griping about what they don't have. Amen? They're whining about this, they're whining about that, the world's doing this, the world's falling apart, my job stinks, my boss sucks prunes, my car's falling apart, I need a new car. We can always think of what we don't have. That's the world. That's the world we live in, and people play off of that and exploit that. The world needs to see thankful people among God's people. And the only way that they're going to see that is five things we want to share with you today. First of all, we must consider thanksgiving as a duty. Thanksgiving is more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling, folks. We love to feel our way through everything, don't we? Love is so warm, makes me feel so good. Peace is so loving, it makes me feel so good. No, folks, it goes way beyond that. It is a duty. Colossians chapter 3, jump over one chapter. It might be right there on your page. Look at verse number 15. It says this. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body. And notice what he says. This is a command, by the way. And be ye thankful. Folks, this is part of an overall command here. Thankfulness is more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling. Sometimes you got to reach down deep to be thankful, don't you? It's something you have to choose to do. You have to choose to be thankful. My wife will probably tell you, I don't like to be around unthankfulness. And sometimes I'm even unthankful myself. And I find myself whining and griping, and all of a sudden God kind of goes, knock it off. You've got enough to be thankful for. Stop it. Folks, if you're driving around in a car, you're in the top 5% of the wealth of this world. You know that? I don't care if it's a 10, 15-year-old car where the tires are showing air, you know, and the radiator's leaking and whatever. If you got something to get you from point A to point B without having to walk, you got something to be thankful for. If last night in this rainy, damp weather you slept under a roof, most of you in air-conditioned buildings and structures, boy, you've got a lot to be thankful for. Do you realize you fall within the top 10% to 5% of the wealth in the world, this country? But yet, if there's ever been more of a nation of whiners, it's America. It's America, folks. Thanksgiving is a duty. We need to be thankful because God has told us you need to be thankful. You ever told your kids that? All you do is you want this and you want that. You're never thankful. My kids can relate to that. We need to teach our kids to be thankful. We need to be thankful people. It is part of a command. Folks, when you've gone through the heavy loss, it's hard to be thankful. You look at Job. Again, I use him as the prime example for so many things in life. He lost everything he had. Within a matter of moments, he lost his entire family, 10 kids. All of his wealth. And by the way, he was the wealthiest man in the East during that time. So it'd be like the Bill Gates or the Donald Trump of the day. You know? All of a sudden, he lost everything he had. Lost it all. And then to beat all, he loses his health. What does he do? Man, I don't know about you and me. We might be taking a handful of pills. Putting a gun to the head, but not Job. He says this. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even under the criticism of his own wife, because she had lost all that too. Everything that Job lost, she lost. Even under that criticism, he said, you speak as one of the foolish women. Do we only take the good that comes along in life from God and not the bad? Folks, if that's not a grateful, thankful heart, I don't know what is. Amen? There's one thing that Job understood. Even with all of his wealth, all of his power, all of his family, all of his blessings, there's one thing he learned through it all, and that was to be thankful for what he had. It was a duty. God is always good, and we must always thank him, not just when the times are good. We need to thank him simply because of who he is, and he's our God. Secondly, we must consider Thanksgiving not just a duty, but also as a privilege. Again, our theme text, Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. We have been so constructed, so rooted, built up, and established in the faith that we need to understand that we need to be thankful as a privilege. A privilege. You see, the natural man doesn't ever see it that way because they're so spiritually blind to the things of God. All of humanity out there is filled with pride and self-centeredness. You want to just see how prideful somebody is? You'd be driving along in traffic, somebody cuts you off, and let's just see how thankful we are. Amen? And I say that because I'm not a very patient person 90% of the time. That's why I tell people I have a love-hate relationship with Sam's Club. I love it and I hate it. Amen? It's like sweet and sour pork. It's kind of an oxymoron, you know? Sweet and sour just don't make any sense. I've got this love-hate relationship. I love going there. I love the deals. I love to see all the stuff, you know, you can get. You get sometimes some great buys and some great deals. And I've got a lot of Sam's stuff. Believe you me, but then all of a sudden there's the checkout line. It's like Walmart. They got 35 registers, 4 are open, you know? On a good day. Amen. All those registers and nobody demand them, you know? And you go to the checkout line and you're standing behind people and you just want to go, will you come on? Pride kicks in and the self-centeredness kicks in and we respond differently, don't we, when things aren't good. Folks, the more we are established in the faith, the more we are thankful for what we have. I will say this, I have mellowed out a lot in my old age. When I was younger and I drove through the streets of Tampa as a business owner, oh man, I could not live with myself, you know, much less expect anybody else to do that. I drove the Tampa streets all day long servicing customers, going from one place to the next. I used to learn how to avoid traffic and do all kinds of things. But one of the things I found out, Tampa traffic will make you mean. Amen? It'll make you angry. It'll give you a bad attitude. But it gives you a lot of time to think, too, also. The more we're established in the faith, the more we're thankful for what we have. Those who are weak in the faith are very self-centered, and they feel that the entire world revolves around them. And one of the things you can see in epidemic proportions today is what they call narcissism. In other words, it's all about me. You know, we live in the day and the time of the selfie, thanks to the cell phone. Amen? You walk around everywhere you go, and you got somebody doing that. And they got little dogs sometimes. Man, oh man, you talk about a narcissistic instrument right here. Folks, Thanksgiving's a privilege. We need to understand that. Number three, we must consider Thanksgiving continuously. The Bible says abounding with thanksgiving. We are to abound it. Psalms 30:12 says this, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Folks, one of the things that you're going to do in heaven and you're going to be in heaven is thankful. Because when you leave this place and God takes away all the pain and all the tears and all the sorrow and all the death and all the great things that He's going to do, and He replaces it with joy, love, peace, a mansion, streets of gold, a whole new creation and universe when He replaces that. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's enough to be thankful for. Amen? And to know that none of that I've received because I deserve it. Matter of fact, if He gave me what I deserved, I'd be at the other place. A horrible place called hell forever. I will be thankful, and we will be thankful forever. So you might as well start being thankful now. Get used to it. Because we are to be thankful forever. Every day we need to give thanks to the Lord rather than one specific day every year. Our prayers should be filled with praise and thanksgiving. It needs to be a practice every day in life. When you pray every day, and hopefully every one of you are praying every day, But if you're praying every day, are you giving thanks every day? And I'm talking about more than just sitting down at McDonald's when you got your hamburger comes and God is great, God is good, let us thank you for food, amen. I'm talking about more than that. I'm talking about a deep inner prayer of thanksgiving every day. Amen. We need to be a thankful people. I will give thanks unto thee forever. Warren Risby writes this: thankfulness seems to be a lost art today. He illustrates his problems in this passage, Colossians. He told about a ministerial student in Evanston, Illinois, who was part of a life-saving squad. In 1860, a ship went aground on the shore of Lake Michigan near Evanston, and Edward Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters to save 17 passengers from that ship that went down. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. History records that some years later at his funeral, it was noted that not even one of the people he rescued came and thanked him. Not one. Kind of reminds me of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. Amen? You want to talk about a story of unthankfulness? Jesus Christ saved them from impending death from leprosy. A death sentence. One came back and said thank you. Just one. Jesus said, hey, weren't there 10 of you? And I think that guy probably looked around and says, yeah, I know. Folks, it's a terrible thing not to be thankful. Amen? We need to thank God continuously. As a pastor, I try not to let a good deed go unthanked. People do things for me all the time. You people are very encouraging to me. Sometimes you send me letters. Sometimes you give me gifts. Sometimes you call me. Sometimes you do things for me, and I appreciate that. I've got in my top shelf a bunch of thank you notes. I keep them stored in there and stacked in there, and notes of encouragement, because I like to write thank yous. I learned a long time ago, a wise pastor told me this, and I've shared this with you before, your success in life and your success in ministry will be dependent upon the people that you learn to say thank you through that have helped you along your way. That's your key to success. And I found that to be true. We need to be thankful people in so many different ways. The praises we sing on Sunday come from a grateful heart, realizing what God has done for us. And then there's a fourth thing. We must consider thanksgiving as a prominent part of our life. Look at what it says again, verse number 7. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding. I like the way the NLT puts it, New Living Translation. It says, let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. That's what abounding means, to overflow with thankfulness. Why is that? Because it becomes a prominent part of our life. If you're a thankful person, people will know it. It'll be a part of your witness, will it not? They will see God's people as a thankful people. Because thanksgiving, just like a lot of other things, just like love, is a very contagious thing. One of the things I have found, when I make an extended effort to be thankful, it is a contagious thing. And people just grasp a hold of the concept. It's like in your family. As you, as a parent, are always whining about what you don't have and griping about everything, you're going to raise a bunch of spoiled brats. They're going to do the same thing you're doing. But if they live in a home where they've got grateful and thankful parents because of what God has done in their life, you can't tell me that's not going to rub off. I know it does. It'll change your whole attitude in life. Thankfulness. Folks, it is an attitude. It is a part of who we are. And we need to make it a prominent part of our life. I don't like to be around ungrateful, unthankful people. I want to be around grateful people. I want to be around thankful people. It comes with a positive attitude. In his book, Folk Psalms of Faith, Ray Stedman tells of an experience H.A. Ironside had in a crowded restaurant one day. Just as Ironside was about to eat, a man came and asked if he could join him where he was sitting. H.A. Ironside, the great author, said, sure, sit down, have a seat. When he opened up his eyes, the other man said, he, of course, Ironside bowed and prayed for his meal like he always did. When he opened up his eyes, the other man asked, do you have a headache? Ironside says, no, I don't. The other man said, well, is there something wrong with your food? Ironside said, no, I was just simply thanking God as I always do before I eat. Say a little prayer. The man said, oh, you're one of those, aren't you? He says, well, I want you to know I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in. Ironside looked at him and said, yeah, that's just like my dog. He does the same thing too. I don't know if I even made it out of the restaurant, but anyway, he's still around to write a lot of good books after that. Folks, we need to thank God. Make it a prominent part of our life. And again, as I said earlier, teach your children to be thankful. When we are built on Him, when we are established on Him, on Christ Jesus, we will be a thankful people. The closer you are to Christ, the more thankful you are. Because if there ever was a person who taught thanksgiving, was it not Jesus Christ? Was this not the one who said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but if not my will, then thy will be done? He submitted himself to Christ even until death and was thankful to do it. Why was that? Because he knew what the will of God was for his life. And he was thankful. Let me give you one more. We must consider thanksgiving as a spiritual part of our life. As a spiritual part. Folks, to gripe and complain is natural. That's a natural thing to do. Matter of fact, let's be honest. Aren't we born griping and crying? Think about that precious little baby. I know you love it. I mean, you got a little cute one right back over here. You know. So cute, see? But let me tell you what. They feel, babies, that the whole world revolves around them. Do they not? They get a little hungry and they scream. Their diaper gets dirty and they scream and cry and they whine. Folks, we are brought into the world whining and griping. So that's the natural thing to do. We accept that as natural. To be thankful is when we rise above the natural man. And we do that through Christ Jesus. His Spirit lives within us. And folks, I understand sometimes you got to dig down real deep in order to be thankful. Because sometimes you don't feel real thankful. It's like being saved. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I don't feel very saved. But I don't base my salvation, just like my thankfulness, totally upon my feelings. Amen? Thanksgiving is a choice. Thanksgiving is a decision. It's just like love. Love is a choice. Love is a decision. God commands us to love, does He not? You cannot command a warm, fuzzy feeling. You have to make a decision to love. Jesus says, love your enemies. What? My enemies? Jesus said, love your enemies. And Jesus Christ also commands us to be thankful. So it's a decision of the heart, decision of the will to be thankful. And we can choose to either be thankful or we can choose to be ungrateful. The choice lies with us. Sometimes you have to dig down real deep. It's good to know that salvation is not based upon feelings, neither is love, thankfulness. It's Christ-based and it's faith-based. A little poem I read the other day, kind of like a poem. It goes something like this. Today upon a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so happy. And how I wished I were so fair. Then suddenly she arose to leave. I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch. But as she passed, a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such a charm. He seemed to radiate such good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned to me and said, "Oh, thank you, sir." And then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have two eyes. The world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment, then I said, "Why don't you join the others, dear?" He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have two ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. Amen. Folks, that needs to be the attitude of our hearts. It needs to be the attitude of our lives. You know you've spiritually matured when you can thank God in the bad times, when things just aren't working out well, when a tragedy has just struck. And folks, today, if you're a child of God and you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a lot to be thankful for. Paul Harvey wrote a story here a while back, and I want to close with this, and we'll close with a word of prayer. It goes something like this. It's gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old pier, broken down pier, on the eastern seaboard of Florida. Every Friday night until his death in 1973, he would return. He walked slowly. He was slightly stooped over, and he had a bucket of shrimp in his hand. The seagulls would flock around this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. Many years before, in October 1942, Eddie Rickenbacker, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to that time General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. There was an unexpected detour that would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost in search of a radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane in the ocean, and for nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water, the weather, and the scorching sun. Many sleepless nights they would spend in that raft as giant sharks rammed into their rafts. The largest raft was 9 by 5, the biggest shark 10 feet long. But all their enemies at sea, one was the worst and most formidable. Starvation. No food. 8 days out, their rations were gone out of those 30 days. Destroyed by salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them. One day, a miracle occurred. In Captain Eddie's own words, Cherry, that was the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry, read the service that afternoon, and we finished with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise in those rafts. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep the sun out, I dozed off. Now, this is still Captain Rickenbacker talking. He said, "Something landed on my head." I knew it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew it was. I just knew it was a seagull. Everyone else knew, too. No one else said a word, but they peered out from under my hat brim without moving my head. I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at that gull. Must have looked like a big chicken to them at that time. I would have seen fried chicken written right over it. Anyway. The gull meant food if I could catch it. And the rest, as they say, is history, as Paul Harvey would put it. Captain Eddie caught the gull. Its flesh was eaten. Its intestines were used to bait fish and catch fish. The survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because of a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, landed and offered itself as a sacrifice. Hundreds of miles away from land. Well, as you know, Captain Eddie made it. And now you know he never forgets. Every Friday night, about sunset, on a lonely stretch of eastern Florida seabird, you can see an old man walking. He's got white hair, bushy eyebrows, he's bent over, carrying a bucket full of shrimp to feed the gulls. folks, there's one that gave his life for you years ago. His name is Jesus. And today, because we are rooted and established in him, we are to abound in thanksgiving. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ died for you. If you put your faith and trust in him and believe on him like the Bible tells us to do, the fact that he died on the cross, rose from the dead 3 days later, and today sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father as our high priest, and you believe everything you need to believe to become a child of God, what you need to do is to pray and ask him into your heart today. The privilege of prayer. You can say something like this: Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, please save me today. Please make me one of your children. I believe in you. Father, I want to follow you. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. And I give you praise, honor, and glory for what you're going to do in my life. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer by the authority of the Word of God, you're a child of God today. In just a moment after we pray, we're going to stand. We're going to invite you to come as the song is played. I'd love to take your hand and talk to you more about this and give you some information on how you can grow as a child of God and learn to serve God in the days ahead. Maybe if you're here today and you're already saved, you're already a child of God, you just want to come to an old-fashioned altar and give a few things to God today. Maybe a prayer of thanksgiving, maybe a prayer for some need in your life that you're facing. Maybe some kind of a change that needs to take place in your life. I know that the world can get you down. In just a moment, we're going to stand and pray. If you're here today and you need to join the church or need to be baptized because you've never been scripturally baptized, we would love to do that. You can come and present yourself as a candidate for baptism or church membership. Let's all stand with every head bowed, every eye closed, as we go to God in prayer. Father, now I pray in Jesus' name that you'll bless this invitation and you'll lead and guide. Father, help us to be thankful people. I thank you, God, for saving me. But if there's one here today, Father, that is not saved, that they would come. And let today be the first day in the rest of their life. If they've prayed that prayer, Father, may they have the courage and you give them the boldness to come and let us pray with them. Father, whatever the need is now, the altars are open. Father, they're your altars. May you draw people as you see fit. For us in Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God has spoken to your heart, you come right now.